Good morning, and welcome to another of our mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are at the start of chapter 14. Yesterday we talked about the lottery and how, on the one hand, they managed to have a random lottery, and on the other hand, make sure that the larger ones would get more land and the smaller ones would get less land, as prescribed in the Chumash. So now we are on the distribution itself at the start of chapter 14. And the way it's going to work, 14 and 15 are really a unit, is that the first five sentences will talk about how the land is to be distributed. Then we're going to learn about Kalev getting Hebron, followed by the boundaries of the tribe of Yehuda, of which Kalev is a member, but he's, as we'll see, broken out separately. Then we learn about Kalev's conquests of his land, followed by the cities of Yehuda. So Kalev and Yehuda are going to be blended in interesting ways. We'll have to talk about that. But first, the opening five sentences that describe how the land should be distributed. Ve'ele esher nachalu b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Kenan. And these are the cities that the Jews received in Kenan. Asher nichalu osam Elazar ha-Kohen v'Yoshua b'nun b'roshei avos hamatos livnei Yisrael, which were given to them by Elazar, Kohen Gadol, Yoshua, and the heads of the Shvatim, the heads of these families and tribes. So these are the cities that are going to be given to you by Elazar and Yehoshua. The fact that we mention Elazar before Yehoshua is interesting. It's reminiscent of a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, in which we are told when Yehoshua is appointed, it's by Midbar 27:21, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amod, V'shalo B'mishpat Ha'urim, etc. That Yehoshua is going to stand in front of Elazar and ask him for guidance, spiritual guidance. So this is a spiritual matter, this lottery. And therefore, it makes sense that Elazar is sort of primary, and Yehoshua is actually secondary. Begoral nachalasam, kasher tziva Hashem biyad Moshe, by a lottery of their tribes, as Hashem commanded via Moshe, l'sish as hamatos v'chatzi amateh, for the 9.5 tribes, kinasan Moshe nachalas shnei amatos v'chatzi amateh me'ever la'yardein, because Moshe assigned the land on the eastern side of the Yardein to the 2.5 there. And he didn't give them a portion of the Leviim. And that's how you get our calculation. No lottery on the eastern side. We already talked about the land that was given over there. The lottery is apparently specifically to the western side, which contributes to the idea, perhaps, that the western side has greater legitimacy as Eretz Yisrael. You can make that argument, although, as we've seen, sources go both ways. And this is the first mention that there are going to be cities of the Levium. It says the Levium don't get a portion. Pasuk Dalid, ki ayu b'nei Yosef, shnei matos Menashe ve'Ephraim, because, sorry, I shouldn't have really stopped there. We're explaining how you get to 12. So you had 9, you had 2.5 on the eastern side of the Yardin. You have 9.5 on the western side of the Yardin. And the Levium are not getting. So how do you end up with 12? Because Yosef counts as two tribes, Menashe and Ephraim, and they didn't give the Levium a share in the land. They just got cities to dwell in, and portions outside of those cities, which we'll have to talk about. Those portions outside the cities are for their cattle and for their property. As Hashem told Moshe, so the Jews did, and they divided up the land. Now, the way the math works then is we have 12 sons of Yaakov. You subtract Levi, you divide Yosef in two, so you still have 12 portions, 9.5 in the land west of the Yarden, 2.5 in the land east of the Yarden. And that's what we're doing here. This is the first mention of cities that are going to belong to the Levium. Previously, we said twice in chapter 13 that the Levium are not getting an overall portion. Professor Keel of Dat Mikra says that the reason why we don't mention the cities until now is because, as we've already indicated, the mitzvah of establishing those cities comes after everybody else gets their land. So there's been no point in identifying it. It's just now we're introducing the lottery and explaining who's where. So you mentioned, by the way, cities will be given. But here's the biggest question that I have right now at this stage. You're telling me about the distribution of the land to the various tribes. I get it. You tell me about the 2.5 who got and the 9.5 we're getting now. I get that as well. But here it comes. Pasuk Vav. Vayikshu b'nei Yehuda al Yehoshua ba-Gilgal. The tribe of Yehuda comes to Yehoshua in Gilgal. Vayomrei elav, and along comes Kalev ben Yefuneh Knizi, Kalev, Yehoshua's good spy partner, the other good one among the Meraglim. And he starts talking about getting his portion. And in fact, Yehuda is going to be the first one to receive their portion. And my question is, why? Why are Yehuda and Kalev the first ones to receive their land? Yeah, how does this work? So I suppose you could just say, let's look down the roster of Shvatim in birth order, right? Reuven already got land east of the Yarden. That's taken care of. Shimon is going to get cities in Yehuda, so they're in fact going to be taken care of when Yehuda gets theirs. Levi, we've said, is going to be broken out separately. So who's next in line? I guess Yehuda. So you could give that as an explanation, I suppose. But then Isaac Abarbanel offers two other answers, and then we'll have two other answers beyond that. So Abarbanel first suggests that that it's really Kalev who is the tail wagging the dog, so to speak. Meaning, Kalev comes to ask for Chevron before anybody has gotten their portion. This is a portion that is supposed to be special, it is supposed to be his, as we're going to discuss. So Yehoshua wants to see whether Chevron is going to be part of Yehuda's portion or whether it's going to be separate. And therefore he says, okay, so let's do Kalev and let's do Yehuda. After that, he then goes with Yosef. Yosef is going to receive after Yehuda. And that could be because Yosef is going to include Yehoshua's lot. Yehoshua is from Ephraim. So maybe what's actually happening, says Abarbanel, is Kalev and Yehoshua are actually the ones who are going first. In other words, these are the holdovers from the generation of the Midbar, the generation of the wilderness. Everybody else among the males between the ages of 20 and 60 at the time of the Meraglim died. So really what we're doing is giving Kalev and Yehoshua their portions first. So Kalev comes to ask for Chevron, and therefore we're going to throw in Yehuda to see whether Chevron is part of Yehuda or not. Then Yehoshua is going to get his portion as part of Ephraim, and therefore we're going to do the Yosef portions. That's one explanation for why we are doing Yehuda as well as Yosef. Second approach from Abarbanel, also geared towards Yehuda and Yosef. And that is that Yehoshua puts Yehuda and Yosef first because they're the two largest units. Between the two of them, those are, when we talked about the list of the sizes of the Shvatim, they're really the big guns among the Shvatim. And when they take their portions, it's going to help the Jews hold the land overall because these two large blocks are taken care of. Yosef being largest because of Menasha and Ephraim combined, and Yehuda in his own right being a very large Shevet. I don't remember the specific number right now, but if you want, you can go back and check that to see what the actual sizes were, or you can just trust me on it, either way. But that's... actually, no, I do have a list here. Sorry. So Yehuda was 76,500, which was far and away the biggest Shevet. The next one up was done with 64,400. Menashe and Ephraim combined are more than 85,000, 85,200. So Menashe and Ephraim combined makes Yosef very large, and then then Yehuda independently is very large. So that's a second reason to put Yehuda and Yosef first. So again, Yehuda and Yosef go first because Kalev and Yehoshua have to go first, or alternatively, because you want to put in the largest landowners. Okay. Then, just in terms of Yehuda being first, ahead of Yosef, I would note two things. One from Professor Kiel in the Da'at Mikra. He points out Yehuda is always first. And here's a list of things, ways in which Yehuda is first. Most of them come from the Da'at Mikra, from Professor Kiel. Yaakov presented Yehuda as the leader of his brothers, who they should all look up to in his bracha. Nachshon from Yehuda is first into the sea in the Gemara in Sota. There is another version of it there in terms of how that happened, but Sota Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, if you want to look at that. Yehuda's Nasi, his leader, goes first when the Nasiim bring the gifts for the dedication of the Mishkan. Yehuda travels first in the Midbar in the wilderness. Yehuda is first in conquering the land. We'll see in Shoftim when we get to the wars that the individual tribes take. Yehuda is always first. In Sefer Shmuel, we ask the question of how it is that Binyamin gets a king, Shaul, before Yehuda gets their king. That seems to be inconsistent with the bracha that Yaakov gave, that monarchy would never leave Yehuda. And Abarbanel there suggests that it's because Yehuda is always supposed to be the first tribe. It doesn't mean that they have to have the king necessarily. That's a discussion really for Sefer Shmuel. I only bring it as another demonstration of the idea that Yehuda should always be first. So therefore, Yehuda will be before Yosef, and in fact, be first among the brothers. So that's another way to understand why Yehuda would be first, and specifically Yehuda as opposed to Yosef. And then one last note, which we said back in chapter 7. You remember when Yehoshua from Ephraim, who is from Rachel, identifies Achan as the criminal who took from the spoils of Jericho, and Achan is from Yehuda, we had some concerns about a potential rift that Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, and maybe the sons of Leah overall, are going to take this as a sign of the old Leah-Rachel split being reawakened, Yehoshua from Rachel and Achan from Leah, and Yehoshua acts in order to sort of put down that concern and get Achan to confess. Maybe here he's Davka putting Yehuda first as a way to ease any tensions with Yehuda. Look, I'm putting them first. They're in the pole position when it comes to distributing the land. In the end, everyone's supposed to trust that Hashem is giving them the land they're supposed to get via this lottery, but being first has an element of pride of place. So, fundamentally, we have given five possible explanations for why Yehuda is receiving first and Yosef is receiving second. First approach was just logically, Reuven, Shimon, Levi are all taken care of in one way or another. So let's go to Yehuda. That doesn't explain Yosef, that just explains Yehuda. Then two explanations from Abarbanel that really look at Yehuda Yosef, not just Yehuda. And one of them being that it's about Kalev and Yehoshua getting their portions, or the other explanation being that it's because they are the largest landowners and we want to anchor the Jewish settlement in the land. And then finally, Dat Mikra says Yehuda should always be first among the Shvatim, and last, maybe Yehoshua is putting Yehuda first in order to make sure to ease any tensions between the two Shvatim, between himself and Yehuda, between the tribes of Leah and the tribes of Rachel. And God willing, we will resume with this tomorrow to see Kalev get the land in Hebron.